Happy New Year, listeners. Welcome back to Blotter Briefs, Teehee Briefs, quick takes on true crime properties that might save you some deliberating. If you resolved to wrangle your peak true crime listen list into submission in 2019, A, I'm glad the Blotter Presents has made the cut, at least for now, and B, I don't love starting off the new year with a non-rave, but your mileage may vary en route to this new podcast. Murderville. The crime, from The Intercept's website, quote, a single mom was gunned down at a Taco Bell in Adel, Georgia. Cops quickly closed the case, but did they get the right man? The story. At the risk of sounding flip, it's the small town deep south, and this is a true crime podcast, so having listened to a couple of true crime podcasts before, I'm going to go ahead and say no. And I'm correct, though I take no joy in that. Devanya Inman, a stranger to the area at the time Donna Smith was murdered in Adel, was swiftly tried and convicted of the crime and remains in jail, despite DNA evidence excluding him from responsibility and a handful of very similar murders that were committed while he was in custody. Here's the problem with Murderville, which I think is capable in research and execution, though I was distracted for reasons I'm about to explain. Hosts Liliana Segura and Jordan Smith are competent and tell us that the 7-episode series was, quote, years in the making. The build is a bit predictable, and I'll get into that as well, but that's not by definition a negative, and why reinvent the wheel? No, the problem with Murderville, let's start with the name, which to a degree symbolizes the issues with the podcast. It's vague to the point of self-parody and tells you virtually nothing about the story it's about to unspool for you. But at the same time, and here's the real issue, you can probably already guess the story it's about to unspool for you because, and this is not Murderville's fault or The Intercept's fault or anyone's fault, but the first note I took on the podcast before I'd even listened to a full minute of it was about the risk of sameness with podcasts like In the Dark, books like Anatomy of Injustice, et al. This is a tragically, infuriatingly common story. The overmatched, obliviously biased law enforcement that works backwards from a foregone conclusion. The innocent man of color slowly losing hope behind bars. The system that, once the conviction is in the books, is built to steer advocates away from getting them reopened. I don't mean that I've developed a callus to this kind of thing, but if you're a regular consumer of this genre, you can rattle off 4 or 5 similar tales without Googling. Here's a clip from this tale.
And the craziest part? Even though the state of Georgia has seen the evidence of Devanya Inman's innocence, even though nearly every witness against him has recanted, many going out of their way to tell the state that they lied, none of that seems to matter.
In all likelihood, Devanya Inman will spend the rest of his life in prison. We wanted to understand how this could happen. How could an investigation this shoddy, and a case this weak, end in a conviction and a life sentence? We also want to know why the state doesn't care, even after evidence turned up that would exonerate Inman. The state might not care, but we hope that you will.
Well, that's the thing. We do care, but we also know this isn't all that crazy, as it were, at least in terms of the frequency of its occurring. And we know the broad answers to the questions of how such a thing happens. That Inman is African-American and accused in a southern state not necessarily known for its rectitude in matters of criminal justice, that convictions are extremely hard to set aside. The innocent man had a number of talking head musings on exactly this, even when it's what the state agrees is correct, and that the state almost never does agree that this is correct. See The Staircase, Paradise Lost, I could go on. The second part of this problem is that not only have we heard this story before, but I have heard this story before. This particular story about Devanya Inman's case, and it was driving me goddamn crazy as I listened to Murderville, I mean to tell you. because I had a very strong sense memory of driving and listening to another podcast on the same topic. As I listened to the first half of Murderville's episode one, I tried to keep a channel in my mind's ear open to remember who else I had heard talking about it. And at around the 10-minute mark, I hollered, "Bill Rankin!" The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's breakdown already tackled this case in its season four, which dropped in 2017. I don't remember where I was driving or where to, but I remembered the sweatpants mask detail, and while a couple of other things pinged for me also, that it was a Taco Bell, the night delivery to the bank that was often made with a police escort but was not on this occasion, the victim's name, the sweatpants mask nailed it for me. It isn't figurative. I had literally heard this story before. Breakdown, back in the day before pods were king, was one of like three true crime podcasts besides Serial. The careful narration and occasional hand-holding explanations aren't for everyone, and it's not that The Intercept shouldn't try to retell the story, or can't do so more definitively, or can't move the ball on Inman's case. It's not even that Segura and Smith don't realize what they're up against in terms of this material, how many of these stories we've heard, or to put it crassly, have to choose from these days, and the shortcuts taken to tell them.
Murder is always shocking. And it was even more shocking for a quiet little town like Adel, which only has about 5,000 people. By morning, news of the crime was already making its way around town. Let's take a second to talk about Adel. This is our Talking About Adel music. Adel was founded in the late 1800s.
I mean, I respect the meta nod and all the hours and days of work Segura and Smith and the Intercept team have obviously done to bring this podcast to fruition, but it doesn't change the fact that I have heard the story before and therefore have an even lower tolerance than usual, which is at around ankle height, for faffy two-chain restaurant town scene setting. This isn't really Murderville's fault either. But if I hear one more, "It's the kind of town where Hatfields and McCoys put aside their differences over Miss Aline's biscuits of a blah blah banjo twang," I'ma throw Apple Podcasts into a volcano. Y'all, don't do that anymore. It's condescending. Just get to the point. And here's me doing that. Murderville is, if you aren't familiar with the story or aren't a regular Breakdown listener, fine, I'm sure. But I bailed it in the middle of the first episode because I've been there and Bill Rankin did that. Where else should I go? Let me know on social. That's Blotter Presents on Facebook and Twitter. You can get extra briefs, snark briefs, and other bonus content on the Patreon page. That's patreon.com/blotterpresents. And if you'd like to advertise your book or other product on the podcast, check out my listing at advertisecast.com or email me directly at bunting@the-blotter.com. Thanks for listening to today's Blotter Brief. I'm your host, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm always prepared to rule.